Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the grandchild of one of the original Reno casinos sells for $50 million, and grab your butt and kiss your wallet goodbye. Airline baggage fees are about to go up again.
Ew, goodness, you know, that's a little bit graphic there, Mark. At 3:20 in our Smarter Traveler segment, Mark reads a love letter from a Spirit Airlines flyer written to the airline. "You weren't my first choice," is the heart-grabbing title. Sad, tragic, and perhaps all too true.
So, after a really uplifting first half of the show, bag fees going up, people not spreading love, there is a new show opening in San Francisco in just a few weeks. And, Tom, you talked with one of the stars.
I did. Oliver Savile, who plays alongside rock legend Sting, joins us at 3:35 to tell us more about The Last Ship.
I've always wondered if people tell advocates the whole truth when they go looking for help. So we asked travel helper Chris Elliott that question, and boy, the answer is really interesting. That's coming up at 3:45.
What? You mean people aren't always truthful? Oh, no, I can't believe it. Anyway, busy day for travel and entertainment. We've got you covered right here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I've got two tickets to paradise.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for taking a little time out of your day. Maybe you're on the way out to do something, and you got us on that car radio of yours. Thank you so much. We are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. That there is Mark Hoffman to my immediate left. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How can they possibly see me? This is the radio.
You know, I was listening earlier to Fred Hoffman, and he was doing his garden show.
No relation,
show.
By the way. It's just the Hoffman day here at KFBK. We're slowly taking over the radio station 1 hour at a time.
Anyway, and Fred was, they must have been podcasting the show or something, because they were talking about bare root trees, and they were showing it. Uh-huh. And they said, well, here shows you this is where the grafting was done, and this is the side of the tree that's the weakest, and you want to make sure to plant it so it heads south and so forth. And I'm going, Fred, and then he says, and for those of you that are watching on the podcast, you know, I suppose if we chose to.
So they were live.
They were live, yeah. If you're talking to them on the radio and showing it on TV. I know, what's his name? Pat Walsh once in a while.
I've been told I have a face for radio.
You've done a lot of TV. You're one of the Channel 6 guys. People have seen you a lot that watch.
Yeah, but that's all done with makeup and mirrors and special angles and stuff like that.
Anyway, well, let's see. Anything you need to tell the folks before we jump into the travel
news? No, just to forward promote that next week I will be in New York City on Friday. The New York Times Travel Show has what they call Industry Day and Media Day, so it allows all of us who are part of the travel industry or who are part of the media, I happen to be both, to go on the floor and talk to the vendors. And so we're able to get a lot of pretty interesting interviews, I think. Usually have about half a dozen, and those will all be sent back to you. You will work your radio magic with them, and they will be broadcast live on Sunday. By that time, I'll be on my way down to Florida to meet up with a Sports Leisure Vacations group. But anyway, from the New York Times Travel Show, next week, all kinds of fun stuff. And I would tell you who we're going to interview, but we really haven't decided yet. And some of that kind of happens on the fly. It's like, there's a guy that's available. Let's go talk to him.
So. Right. And if you go to travelguysradio.com and you can dig far enough back, you can find last year's New York Times travel show. And we had a lot of great interviews there that by all intents and purposes would be, you know, timely today.
Probably.
Great stuff. All right. Well, let's get to it. It's time to bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. And here once again is Mark.
Well, and
great looking guy to my left. As you can see through your radio there.
You'd almost think it was, you know, the beginning of the year. You were, you know, looking for a raise or something.
kind of.
Yeah. Yes. Harrah's, Reno was one of the first casinos in Reno. In fact, Bill Hara opened it as a bingo parlor in October of 1937. It was open for a couple months. Bill Hara had a great propensity for running businesses on like a dime or a nickel or somebody else's nickel, which is how he built his whole empire in Northern Nevada. But anyway, it was open as a bingo parlor for a couple months, closed for the rest of the winter, reopened in the spring as more of a full-fledged casino. And after all of these years, Bill Hara has left us many years ago. Harrah's no longer owns Harrah's. Caesars owned Harrah's, but now they've sold it for $50 million. So if you'd have had, Tom, with all of your money, I'm just embarrassed that you didn't buy this hotel in Reno.
No, just the one in Reno, though. And they're still hanging on to the ones in Tahoe, Vegas, so forth.
Just the one in Reno, yeah. And the showroom, they were I was reading a little history of the Harrah's Reno. The showrooms last had a show there in 2004, so they haven't. You know, Harrah's was the people who brought Bill Hara, brought all these entertainers. Anyway, that's a great story if you are interested sometime to read Bill Hara's life biography.
Remember when we had Wayne Newton on?
Yes.
And he talked about Bill Hara and the fact that he was married to Bobby Gentry,
Yeah.
And for about 2 minutes.
Well, Bill Hara was married about five or six times. Yes. Bobby Gentry was, I think, number five or something.
And
like that.
Anyway, he ended up giving Wayne Newton his, what was it? I don't know, Mercedes Benz or whatever, because he didn't want to drive it anymore. He had bad memories. And Wayne wanted to buy it, but he says, no, you know what? We were buddies. We worked together a lot here. You just take it.
I'm going to give you my 57 VW when I'm done with it because, you know, I mean, it's because we're buddies, you know.
Hey, thank you.
JetBlue is in the news at the top of the hour. You heard that JetBlue is leaving Sacramento. At least the Long Beach portion of JetBlue services are leaving Sacramento in April. And as of right now, JetBlue has not made any announcement that we will be losing the overnight to New York City from to Kennedy from Sacramento, but we'll keep an eye on that. JetBlue is the airline that caused a lot of folks to do a double take during the week because JetBlue has just increased their checked bag fee to $35. They were the first ones to raise it to $30 a couple of years ago. Took the other carriers a couple of weeks to follow. So JetBlue now has announced that they're going up to $35. So the over-under, Tom, I think, is about 10 days in terms of how long it will take the other airlines to match JetBlue's increase. So if you are planning to travel this summer or travel lots of times, just take an extra $5 bill and put it on the pile for each time you go.
Do you think that Southwest ever will finally pull the trigger and even charge a small amount?
There is discussion about Southwest having a bare bones basic economy fare to Hawaii. And people are trying to speculate about what that could be and what could they subtract or to make it less valuable or something. And somebody said, well, they could charge for bags.
Yeah.
But see, not everybody brings a lot of luggage on Southwest. So if you were a one bag person that only has a $35 value, well, 70 if it's round trip. But if you're a frequent traveler on most carriers, you don't pay the baggage fee. So I really don't know. Southwest, it's hard to understand why one airline can charge no baggage fees and no ticket change fees, which are huge revenue sources for all of the legend carriers that are left, American, United, Delta, and still make a profit. So nicer people than everybody else.
It's the $95 that they jab us every time we take Fido on board underneath in the area
Here we go. Boy. Tom complaining about the Fido. Well, why don't we just let Fido run around the airplane then?
Well, it's just that 90, like I say, $95 each way.
Okay,
and in some flights, it's cheaper than buying.
When you go home, tell your wife
to buy her ticket
that we're going to use a new strategy next time you fly. We're going to put you in the carrier for $95, and the dog can just fly like a regular person.
But I already paid for the space underneath my feet. When I bought my ticket.
Well,
isn't that included?
You're going to have to really curl up to fit in there yourself.
You get a place to put your feet and a place to put your butt is what you're paying for. And then I got to pay for it a second time. Okay, I'll let it go.
You're losing your mind. The first carbon neutral U.S. airline is almost here. Which airline would it be? Well, of course, JetBlue, because they're in the news this week. They are working towards being carbon neutral because they are going to purchase offsets in order to make their airline carbon neutral. They say it will not cause the fares to go up. Of course, people from Sacramento won't care much because the Long Beach flights are going away anyway. So there you have it. Delta has launched virtual queuing to board flights. This is kind of interesting. You're in the airport, and you know you've got like an hour and 5 minutes layover, and your gates are 10 minutes apart. So you're trying to decide whether you can use the restroom and buy something to eat and whatever it is that you need to do and get to the gate in time. And of course, you know, sometimes they board right on time. Sometimes there's a little issue. They board a little late. Sometimes they're 20 minutes late. So if you knew that information, you wouldn't have to run all the way to the gate if you knew you had an extra 10 minutes or an extra 20 minutes. So Delta now is going to, in their app, they're going to show you which boarding group is boarding so that you'll, and when boarding has started, so you'll be able to know, have an idea of. It's a little thing, but I think it's a good idea. Okay, you're looking, sitting there looking at me about, what are you talking about?
Oh, no, I get it.
Did you see where Delta, speaking of Delta, dumped a bunch of fuel over a couple of schools in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it was all over the news. I saw the fuel dumpy thing.
Good Lord.
Because they got it on film. I mean, it's so apparent.
Well, they had a flight emergency, and normally when that happens, there's a route that they take after they've left the airport there in Los Angeles that will take them over the mountains or someplace that won't be populated and stuff. And the airline, the pilot said, well, we don't need to dump fuel. And because he wasn't concerned about it. So he was going to come back and land with a full fuel. Well, here's the deal. If an airline lands a plane that's over a certain weight, the plane has to be taken out of service and be thoroughly inspected before it can be put back into service. So while the pilot thought that it would be fine to land the plane with all the fuel on it, somebody at Delta probably said, oh, wait a minute. We'll lose that plane for 2 or 3 days. No, we're going to dump the fuel before we land the plane. So they dumped the fuel in the wrong place, and now they've got egg and fuel and everything else all over their face. But anyway, that's how that happened. The pilot probably made one decision, and the guys in the C-suite made a different one.
Interesting. Didn't know that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, okay.
Bad decision. That's going to cost them a lot more than having a plane out of service for a couple of days.
That would be my thought. Plus, the PR wasn't all that positive either. Dropping fuel on school children is not my recommended way to make people happy with you. Disney Cruise Line is offering 50% discount on deposits. This is what Gwen Duncan would tell you is Wave Month, when all the travel companies and cruise lines and stuff do their big promotions. So Disney is offering something, but be very careful when you read this, because it's not that they're reducing the amount of the cruise by any amount. They're just reducing the amount you have to pay them up front by 50%. So you get to hold on to a little bit more of your money. And one more thing, two more things here before we go. One is Travelers United asked its readers, once they are okayed, would you consider flying again in a Boeing 737 MAX airplane? They had four opportunities for answers, and they're pretty well split up. Yes, if they're given the okay by the FAA, 21%. I'd wait a couple months after they're back in the air, you know, make sure that everything's okay, 23%. I'd wait at least a year when they're back in the air to make sure things are okay, 28%. And people who would check to make sure their flight was not on a 737 MAX, 28%. So that kind of tells you that three quarters of the people are saying they wouldn't get on an airplane right away when it went back in the sky. So that may be a little bit of an issue for airlines like Southwest and American and United who have those 737s if they ever make it get back to the sky. And one other thing, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see a link to a really cool short little video about Hilton Hotels, which is doing something really cool with their soap. You know, all those pieces of soap that we leave in the hotel room when we check out, all those little partial pieces. Well, Hilton has figured out a way to make the old soap into new soap. There's a cool little video at travelguysradio.com, and that's your travel news for today.
All right. Okay, turn your microphone on. All right, coming up next here on the Travel Guys, it's our Smarter Traveler segment, and Mark has got a fun little story for you. That's next here on the Travel Guys. It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys at KFBK every Sunday, 3 to 4, and at TravelGuysRadio.com, and time now for our Smarter Travelers segment. Mark?
One little clarification here.
Yes.
I was doing a little homework while we were on the break there, and JetBlue indeed is continuing the overnight New York flight from Sacramento, and also the seasonal overnight red-eye to Boston that comes up in the summertime. Both of those come in from Boston and New York as evening flights from those two destinations and go back as red eyes. So JetBlue isn't leaving, but the Long Beach service is going away at the end of April, and not to worry if you like the Long Beach Airport, which is by far the best airport to fly into in Southern California. If it is convenient for you, it is the smallest and easiest one. Southwest Airlines will still be serving Long Beach from Sacramento.
So yeah, I like that little airport. I mean, it is small. I think you still got to practically get out and walk across the tarmac.
I've been a fan of Burbank forever. Yeah, you literally can park. Burbank now has a parking garage, but you literally can park your car and walk into the airport and, you know, be inside in 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, right. There's no shuttle buses to deal with.
Yeah,
all
car rental places are right across the street.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
very convenient.
It really is a convenient thing. Okay, so we have here a lovely little ditty that someone chose to fly on one of the low-fare, ultra-low-fare airlines, Frontier, Sun Country, Spirit. We now have them all in Sacramento. This doesn't involve a Sacramento traveler, but on a recent trip, this traveler had the pleasure of flying aboard Spirit Airlines for the first time. And for over 90 minutes from Orlando, Florida to Charlotte, North Carolina, she was given plenty of time to explore my humanity, the state of low-cost carriers, and the life choices that have led me here.
Cue music.
The result is this, a love letter to Spirit Airlines. Dear Spirit Airlines, as with most flyers, you weren't my first choice of airline. In fact, you weren't my second either. Instead, you were the cheapest option to get me home after a weekend with friends in Orlando. And even then, the term cheapest was debatable. To begin with, the airfare was completely unbundled. Everything came with a price, from selecting my seat to getting a better boarding group. What perplexed me most was when it cost less to check a bag than to bring one on board. My personal item was free, but $30 to check versus $36 to carry on seems a bit strange to me. Because I was too frugal to purchase my seat selection ahead of time, I was stuck in a middle seat, left questioning my decisions between two other flyers. Then came the optional snack purchases. The $5 charge for a 12-ounce can of soda made the overpriced $4 bottle of water seem like a steal. I'm sure that I was not the only one to feel that way. The in-flight menu had a suspicious tear out of it that almost resembled a bite mark. After sitting through the world's tightest airline seats, I'm still not convinced the aircraft could be safely evacuated in the event of an emergency. Getting in and out of them, to begin with, was a struggle, let alone getting anything from my personal item during the flight. In the 90 minutes we spent together, I was left to contemplate the state of aviation today. Over the weekend, my friend quipped, "Flying is what you make it." While I agree, I don't see any circumstance where anything I could have done could have made this experience any better. But you did give me a new appreciation for the competition, even if I'm in a city dominated by American Airlines. This trip allowed me to stop worrying and learn to love the legacy airlines, especially Alaska and Southwest. While their seats are getting thinner and legroom is tightening, I at least have the option to select a better seat with nicer amenities. Through holding the right credit card, I can choose to either carry on my bag or check one for free. And despite the delays and irritating connections in Atlanta or JFK, I can make the flying experience what I want it to be. Spirit, while I'm glad I got to fly with you, I don't know that I can either recommend it or willingly do it again. If given the option, I would probably travel aboard a Greyhound bus instead. At least there I can get free Wi-Fi and have more space to sit next to equally colorful characters. But don't stop flying, Spirit. Though your interesting business model, you could give the rest of us perspective on the aviation business today. When points devalue, routes get cut, flights get canceled, and no one wants to help, it could always be worse. We could be flying with you instead.
Sad, tragic, and all too true.
Yes. Someone flying on Spirit Airlines. A warning to those of you who might jump on one of the Spirit flights to Las Vegas and to points beyond, best of luck to you. And it's been nice knowing you. Listen, there are a couple of comments, though, after this letter here. We won't need the music for the comments. I think the next step in ultra-low-cost flying will be to transport people as cargo, packaging them in life support cylinders stacked neatly side by side while they are knocked out for the duration of the flight to be awakened after being unpackaged at their destination. I really wish people wouldn't say things like this because it really gives them ideas that... here we go. Let's see. Although I almost always fly the majors, I love that Spirit and Frontier charge more for carry-ons than checked bags. Boarding is fast, and there's never a fight to get my camera bag that I actually need to carry to have put in a storage bin to get up there. There's always room for it at $36 a shot. So you see, there's a yin and a yang for everything. For everybody who's upset at $36 carry-on fees, there's someone for whom that makes life simple.
Well, you know, there's been a couple of futuristic movies that have been made where traveling by air in some futuristic vehicle was you crawl into a slot.
Yeah,
it's sort of like a bed, maybe. They gas you.
Yeah.
And you fall asleep.
A little
and
chloroform there, and just, by the time you wake up, you're on the
your
other
destination.
Side of the... You know, that would be a great way to go to Chicago or Houston or some of these other... Dulles, some of these other four... Those 4.5 hour... Those are killers.
Have you ever done the sleeping pods, Mark? Of course, I know those are mostly for international.
No, those are a little out of my price range, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if United wants to, because I fly a lot with them, put me up in the forward cabin occasionally, why I appreciate that, but I'm still a somewhat poor person and not really capable of paying the ridiculous prices for first class.
Yeah, well, that's one step above first class, is it not?
Well, yes, that's they put you in a now they've got the you fly across the country at night and stuff like that. You can have the pods and the whole thing, and while the people in the back in steerage are packed into 27-inch pitch and they're, you know, mooing and having cow feed spread around among them and stuff like that. So after, on the other half of the program here, we have some more uplifting news besides airline service getting canceled and people who are unhappy with low-fare carriers. We have an interview. You have an interview with a gentleman who is playing in Sting's new show, The Last Ship, that's coming to San Francisco.
Yeah, this is fascinating. I mean, first of all, if you're a Sting fan, particularly because Sting wrote a lot of the music and several of his tunes from his 1991 album is in it. He plays a character in the show. However, the interview is with a gentleman who is the main character. And it's interesting. It's going to be coming to San Francisco, and we'll have that interview for you after the news. And then coming up in the last segment of the show, we're joined by Chris Elliott once more for some great information on stuff that has to do with his website. So that's it. We'll be back after the news. Travel Guys. Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we're going to focus on the entertainment part of the Travel Guys today because we have a special guest that's going to be appearing in a San Francisco production of a really, really up-and-coming musical, The Last Ship. Perhaps you heard about it because Sting wrote a lot of the score, and a number of his songs are in it, and he plays in it. But our guest today is Oliver Saville, and Oliver plays Gideon Fletcher in a really interesting musical. Oliver, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much. How are we, guys?
All right, we're doing well. Look, first of all, tell the folks a little bit about what the storyline with The Last Ship is all about.
Yeah, cool. So I don't want to give too much away because you have to come and see the show.
Okay.
There's a few little twists and turns in it. But the show basically is based around my character, Gideon, who sort of returns home to his local town, set up in Newcastle. So everybody talks a bit funny up there with a Newcastle accent. And he returns home and to find out that the sort of his local town, the local shipyard where all the ships are made, is sort of, you know, they're trying to close it basically, and he then comes home to find his first love, who's moved on, and it's sort of how the story, how he tries to win her back, and how the sort of shipyard copes with the closure and the government sort of pressing down on them, and that's the sort of where the story sits. But there is a lot of twists and turns within, and it's really hard to try and tell the story without giving too much away. In a nutshell, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Oliver, I understand you were in a number of big hits, La Miserable, Falsetto, Wicked. How does this compare? And tell me a little bit of what makes The Last Ship a different kind of production.
Yeah, well, for starters, Sting's in it, which is quite exciting.
I would imagine.
yeah. But yeah, it's a show that has heart. There's magic. There's, you know, the set is a massive, it's a big old spectacle. We've got some really cool projections and stuff. But I'd say the main thing about it is just got heart. And the story is, even though it's all Sting songs, the story is so strong and so beautiful that, yeah, it really drives along. And it's, I mean, I know most shows have a story, but there's something real special about this one.
You know what Oliver was alluding to was that the music inspired by Sting's 1991 album, The Soul Cage, and in fact, some of his own childhood experiences, I understand, and simply tells the story of a community amid the demise of a shipbuilding industry in Tyne and Wear with the closure of the Swan Hunter shipyard. And when the last ship sails. I guess we're going to have to come to find out if the last ship sails. Oliver, do you have a few tunes that you sing?
Yeah, I have a few. I sing sort of the ones that people might know is When We Danced, and I sing a beautiful song called Pugilist. And there's a song actually that I don't know was on the album. I'd have to double check, but is What Say You, Meg? Which is a beautiful song. So, yeah, I get to sing quite a few, which is really special, especially special and terrifying when Sting stood in the wings watching you sing his stuff.
Now, can I assume that he sings some tunes in this musical as well?
He sings a few, yeah.
All right. By the way, if you're just tuning in here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Oliver Saville playing Gideon Fletcher in the upcoming presentation. Well, you played it in the UK for quite some time, and then we're bringing it to San Francisco February 20th through March 22nd at the Golden Gate Theater. By the way, Sports Leisure Vacations will be taking some trips there to take folks to see this. So go to travelguysradio.com for a link as to how you can get tickets, or you can call their office at 961-361-2051. Oliver, how's the audience been receiving this? What's been their reaction?
So we've had two previews so far in Los Angeles. So, but at the moment, it's been received beautifully. But we're still we're still in rehearsals. So I'm about to head into the theater now, and sort of we're still changing little bits and stuff's being tweaked. So but everybody seems to be loving it, which is, I mean, the reaction down here has just been incredible. So yeah. I'm really excited to get to San Fran.
Outstanding. I understand this is like almost a three-hour show that includes one intermission. How do folks holding up?
Yeah, I think it runs about 2.5 with an interval. Mm-hmm. But it's a long show, but I think most people have been saying that it doesn't really feel like that, because I've sat through some shows that you're sort of watching the clock going, oh, am I ever going to make my last train here? but this one, I think that, you know, by the time we get into Act Two, it's really sort of swinging, and you sort of wanting to know what's going to happen and how it's going to end. So, yeah.
All right. Once again, Oliver Saville, he plays Gideon Fletcher. You'll see him in the performance of The Last Ship coming to Golden Gate Theater February 20th through March 22nd. And as I mentioned, Sports Leisure Vacations, they go to all the good shows, and this is one of them. So find their link at travelguysradio.com. Oliver, good luck, buddy. We'll see you in San Francisco.
See you in San Francisco.
All right, buddy. Break a leg.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.
Well, there you go. And once again, let's see, what's that phone number there at Sports Leisure Vacations where they can call and maybe find out about this trip?
Well, they can. What is the phone number? 916-361-2051, or you can go to travelguysradio.com. There's a link there. There's a link to, if you want to, somebody to provide you with a package to go see the show, or there's a link there if you just want to get tickets to go see the show. And a couple people sent notes to our website while that interview was going on and saying, is Sting going to be part of the show in San Francisco? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
That he plans to be a part of each performance in San Francisco. So we're going to take a little bit of a break and we're going to come back. Chris Elliott is going to talk with us on Chris's website, Tom, from time to time. You'll read a story from somebody and you'll say, gosh, you know, something seems a little fishy. You know, somebody's talking about the problem they had or something like that. And so I asked Chris, I said, do people always tell you the truth when they come looking for help? They've got a big travel problem and stuff. Do they always tell you the truth? And Chris said, not always. And the rest of the answer is, I thought, was really fascinating. So if you want to go to behind the scenes of a consumer advocate, that's coming up next here on The Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio.
Hello again, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And remember, you can follow along and get links to our special guests at TravelGuysRadio.com. Again, time to bring back the world's leading consumer advocate. Catching up with him before he leaves the country, I think, and that would be Chris Elliott. Chris, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, Chris, you and the family are about to head off to an adventure in Europe, it sounds like.
I'm at the terminal here in SFO, the international terminal, and we are about to board a flight for Portugal. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, have you been to Portugal? You guys made a journey to Portugal before, or is this the maiden voyage?
For us, this is our first time to Portugal. Not our first time to Europe, but the first time to Portugal. And, you know, we're going to hit a couple of countries while we're here. So, while we're there, I should say. We've got Spain and Italy on the itinerary, and then over to the UK. Should be fun.
Chris, we'll have a good trip. Travel safely, and we will expect the full report when you get back, of course, because we are, of course, the Travel Guys. In reading your website the other day, I was reading a story. It was kind of fascinating, about someone who was trying to get help, and then it became kind of obvious that the person who was asking for the help might not be being totally honest with the people they were seeking the help from. And it dawned on me that probably happens quite often, and I'm wondering, you're the guy who's trying to help people, and sometimes perhaps people aren't always as upfront as they should be. Tell me a little bit about that. Does it happen very often?
Oh, no, not just often. It happens every single time I advocate a case. People withhold details of all types. Many of the times they withhold details that would hurt your case. So they're only giving you the information that they think is going to give them the strongest case. And when you advocate for them, then it all comes out, and you realize that there's another side of the story and that they're not as innocent as they would like you to believe.
So what is a common thread there? Is it something that people, you know, always leave out? Or perhaps you have an example or two of a situation like this that has occurred recently.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's human nature to want to put your best foot forward and to have someone think that you have a strong case. It happens all the time. You know, you go to any old court and you'll see people trying to tell their side of the story in a way that makes them seem as favorable as possible. But I would say the most common one is when someone has, you know, they have maybe a paper trail of correspondence between the company and them, and maybe they've been unfriendly, or they've yelled and used all uppercase. That's the most common thing that they would take out, because they don't want you to think, as the advocate, they don't want you to think that they've been rude. And again, being rude, another human emotion is when you're not getting what you want, you start yelling and saying, "Hey, I'm gonna take you to court, and you know, I'm never flying your airline again," that kind of thing. And it doesn't help your case. And I think that they realize that afterwards that didn't help their case, and so they will take those emails between them and the company out, and in the hopes that they look better than they actually are.
Chris, do you oftentimes turn down, or do you stop advocating for someone? I mean, when you get into situations where you realize you've kind of been had, or that perhaps things were not the way they presented, and not only were they not the way they were presented, but perhaps the person who's asking for help is the person who's at fault?
Yeah, I mean, I believe everyone initially. So if you come to me with a problem, unless it's absolutely outrageous and you know you're dropping F-bombs and things like that, I'm going to believe you. What happens then, though, is that I will, or one of my advocates will, contact a company and say, "Hey, you know, we've got this guy here who you know had a problem, and here's paper trail." And then I'll get a company to call me back. You know, it's usually someone pretty high up that says, "Look, we had a look at this person's file, and this is what actually happened according to our records." And then they'll fill in some of the details that, you know, had been earlier removed. And then I have to get back to them and say, "Look, I'm sorry, there's really nothing that we can do."
How much of your time, Chris, is wasted on people that are trying to using, you know, you guys to help out with their scam?
Yeah, you know, after a while, you get pretty good at detecting that. But I am so, maybe you could call it naive, but I really every time it happens and my detector goes off and I go, this person's probably lying, I keep thinking, you know, maybe they're not lying. Hopefully they're not lying, you know. And I think that that's just, you know, part of who I am. I have a little bit of a rescue complex as a consumer advocate. And so I'm hoping that, and it usually turns out that they are lying. And it's really lying by omission. It's not that they're actually telling me something that's untrue. It's that they're not telling me the whole story. So, you know, it happens a lot, unfortunately. I mean, like I said before, everyone leaves some information out. Some of it's inconsequential, but a lot of it is very consequential. And then, you know, you have to end up coming back to them and saying, sorry, guys, I can't help with this.
We're talking with Chris Elliott, our favorite consumer advocate. You can catch up with Chris at elliott.org, two L's, two T's. A great site if you are in need of some consumer assistance or if you just like reading about other folks. And what we're talking about today is on Chris's site, there are lots of stories. General, oftentimes they end with success. Sometimes the people can't be helped. And sometimes it turns out that the story they presented wasn't exactly the way things went down. And so that's what we're talking about today. Chris, when someone comes to you, and they need, and they're looking for assistance, obviously they go to your website. There's a form that they fill out. Do you have any suggestions for someone that is listening now and might, you know, not have a travel problem now, but down the road they may need some assistance or something like that? Are there any golden rules or a couple of things that you could tell them that might give them a leg up on things if they do need help?
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I had someone contact me just the other day and said, I heard you on the Travel Guys show and I have a problem. So my first piece of advice would be, tell me that you heard me on the Travel Guys radio show and your case will get the top priority. No, actually I treat them all equally, but it's great to hear that you heard me on this show. I would say, you know, keep it brief, keep it polite, keep out the hyperbole. You know, I get a lot of people who will say, I'm on disability, I'm on a fixed income, I'm a single mom. People call that the Elliott deck of misfortune. And when people play that deck, they think that they're going to be treated in a better way, either by the company or by the advocate, and it doesn't make any difference at all. We really try to help everyone. So don't play the deck of misfortune. Be very polite. Don't make demands. Don't write in all uppercase. Don't use any kind of swear words, and don't threaten. That I think that threatening probably is like the biggest thing. I get that when I, you know, someone will fill the form out and I'll ask them for some documentation, and then they'll get back to me and say, you know, what kind of advocate are you? Can't you just pick up the phone and make a call? And that unfortunately is not the way that it works. You really need to everything before we can advocate.
They were perhaps looking for a lawyer more than they were looking for an advocate. So if you have a situation now or in the future, you can go to elliott.org and you can enlist the help of Chris and Michelle and some of the other folks that are part of their team. And dare I say, you seem to have a pretty good success rate. I suspect there are ones that we don't hear about from time to time, but your team is pretty good, Chris, at being able to get in there and sometimes get legitimate people who have real problems who just have not perhaps explained themselves properly or have been misunderstood or set aside. And that one little extra boost that you're able to give them sometimes puts it over the top and gets them a resolution, not only the one that they want, but at least a resolution.
We get about 1,000 cases through that form every month. So it's a lot of cases. And we read each one of them and respond to each one of them. So, you know, if you have any kind of a consumer problem, not just travel, then go to elliott.org. That's ELLIOTT.org. So two L's and two T's /help. There's a form there. You can fill it out. And our response time is really, really fast. We usually get back to you within a few minutes.
That's not-for-profit great organization, I might add. Mm-hmm. And there is a spot on there to be able to to make a donation and support the work that you all do. Chris, have a great trip to Europe. It sounds like that there's activity in the background there at SFO. So you all travel safe, and we'll talk to you when you get home.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Of course, we recorded this interview with Chris earlier in the week as he was getting ready to head for Portugal. And with that being said, Mark, an update.
An update. They made it to Portugal. Hello from Lisbon, Portugal. We're in a tiny apartment in Chinatown overlooking one of the city's many squares. The electricity keeps going out, which means we don't always have heat. It's an adventure. Our first trip outside the U.S. in a few years is off to an interesting start. I think the kids are experiencing... He travels with his three teenage children who are homeschooled, which probably would be a really fascinating story on another program. But anyways, let's see. My kids are experiencing a little bit of culture shock, especially my 13-year-old daughter. She only knows a few words in Portuguese, something about wanting a Brazilian butt lift. Not the most useful thing to learn, I told her. So, they're going to be over in Europe for a while. He says, this is an important trip as someone who covers the travel industry, it's good to have practical knowledge of what awaits my readers out there when they cross the border. But for my family, this is one of our last opportunities to travel together. My oldest turns 18 in May and will be studying on his own soon. His brother, now 15, isn't far behind, and his sister is 13. So anyways.
Well, yeah. That's quite an experience, if you listen closely, Chris is going to be there for almost a year.
Yeah,
so we won't see him again.
His website
until...
1,000 cases a month. Last year they had 1.7 million hits on the website. I mean, this is becoming a really big deal. I mean, they take on a lot of. So if you have not only travel but any type of consumer issue, they go after. Pretty much everybody. It's Elliott.org, two L's and two T's, and it's just reading the stories. If you just heard that interview, now you go to and read some of the stories of people who write in, and you'll kind of smell something a little funny when you read one, and you'll think, huh, kind of feels like maybe there's a piece of information being left out there. So.
Lots of great stuff on our Travel Guys Radio website. If you want to check it out, some highlights from this week. Reuse your own online shopping boxes. Boy, do I have a lot of
those
laying
around. This is a cool idea. These folks have created something. If you get a box, you know, somebody shipped you a box, let's say Amazon, and you took the stuff out. Now, instead of recycling the box in the garbage, you can fill it with unwanted household items, clothing and shoes and stuff like that, things that might make a difference to somebody else. You can print off a shipping label and drop it off a UPS or a FedEx location. And this is pretty cool. So it's at travelguysradio.com. And also that really cool video of how Hilton recycles their soaps is there too, to take a look at.
Awesome. All right. Let's see. Next week, as we mentioned, Mark's off to New York for the New York Times. Is it called a travel fair, travel show?
Travel show.
Travel show, the biggest in the world, is it not?
It is. They claim that it is the biggest in North America, and by attendance, there's a couple overseas that draw a little more. There's over 30,000 people that attend over a three-day period between the public and the travel trade that goes one day, and there just are people from all over the planet. If you've listened to the show for a while, you know that we tend to get interviews with folks who make different travel apparel or go to exotic destinations or maybe have done a twist to a known destination that nobody ever thought of before, but something that might be kind of interesting. So what happens is on next Friday on the media day, I will run all around the floor with an assistant and get a whole bunch of interviews and then go back to my hotel and transmit them electronically back here to you in Sacramento. You will do a lot of really important magic that makes them all sound good. And on Sunday, when folks tune in, they will get a chance to hear all of these great interviews from the New York Times Travel Show.
One of the I know what I would be looking for, and I'm going to have to ask you, when you go to the travel show, is there a particular kind of anything that you're looking to see that may be new and different in regards to travel support?
For 100,000 years, I've been looking for a neck pillow on the airlines, and I have bought about 6 or 8 or 10 of them, and none of them have ever worked. So, yes, when I walk around a travel show, I'm looking for the perfect neck pillow for airlines. So one of these days, I'm going to find it, I'm certain.
Well, we had one a couple of years ago that, you know, you put it had a mask that you wore, and it had an elastic band that that would go over the seat.
And a back croquet of the mallet that was attached to it.
It was supposed to help hold your head back up against the seat. But anyway, good luck with that. We'll look forward to the interviews for next week.
Thanks to all of the folks who take time out to listen to us each week. Thanks to Luis, who makes us sound good, and Tom for all of your magic. Dance like nobody's watching, and I'll see you next week from New York City.
All right. Stay well, my friends. Go 49ers. See you next week.